Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Ladies, today I am so excited to welcome back to our show, Pili Yarousi. I had her on the show like 2 or 3 years ago, and we had an amazing conversation. You ladies should go back and look her up and listen to that one. But I'm so excited to have the next conversation and share with you all the ways that she's grown and all the new things that she has to kind of bring to the conversation. So I'm super, super excited about this conversation. But before we head into that, let me reintroduce you to Pili. So Pili is a loving mom and wife whose goal is to lead with aloha by example. Pili is a co-founder and operator of Yarousi Holdings LLC with her husband, Jason. Yarousi Holdings is a multifamily investment firm that repositions underperforming properties through operational efficiencies, rebranding, and value-add renovations. Pili and Jason have managed a successful and profitable exit of these multifamily properties. The Yarousis currently have an active real estate portfolio of over $100 million. She co-hosts Multifamily Live, the Jason and Pili Project, Moms of Multifamily, and more, Moms of Real Estate. All can be found on Facebook, YouTube, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. So, Pili, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me back on. That was so many moons ago. We were just giggling about how amazing it is that we lay the foundations of the people that we become with the things that we read and the things that we do years ago.
Yes, exactly. And I've loved kind of watching you move through, like through COVID. I know that you moved locations. You were really active on Clubhouse, right? I've been watching all your events, right, on social media. It's just been amazing to watch you grow and then to hear in your bio, like all like the numbers, how things are so different today than they were years ago, right? Just congratulations. You've done an amazing job.
Thank you so much. It was really interesting to hear you read some of our old numbers when we were just starting, like our triple digit units. I think you said we had like 100 and something units.
So ladies, we were reading over her bio first. And it was the old bio from years ago. It was 426 units. And it was like 100 and something in direct management. And now look at those new numbers. Just wow.
Yeah, we're at 200 million in assets under management and over 2000 units. And this is from the span of, we took down our first building in 2017. And here it is. I mean, really, it's almost 2023. It's been an amazing ride and it's been so much fun.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
Take us through your journey a little bit. So I know, Pili, that you're a syndicator, a lot of syndicators that come on this show. So I'd like to kind of hear your journey. And for me, one of the things that I really want to chat about on this show today is I feel like my ladies have heard a lot about syndication. Mm-hmm. We've highlighted some amazing syndicators like yourself. Some are amazing. Some I don't know enough about to say, but my ladies know that like the syndicator, the person in charge, that's the single most important indicator of success. But I think that the ladies have had a little bit of a challenge as far as making a move towards investing in these syndications. And I'd like to, like, I'm not sure if you've dealt with that and what your experience has been around that and what advice you can give the ladies. So that's kind of where I wanted to head. But let's start by telling me, reminding us of your story and telling us about the journey over the last few years.
I want to kind of answer both questions at the same time. So I'm going to start with something that you and your ladies can think about. For a syndicator, my most important job, and this is per the SEC regulations, Securities Administration. So I need to make sure you're educated. That's my biggest concern. My second biggest concern is that I need to make sure that you know me and that I know you. So it doesn't surprise me, and honestly, that it's such a big leap. Because number one, you need to get educated about this new asset class, something that you keep on hearing about, but you haven't dove into, because it takes a little bit of education to really dive into correctly. I mean, we talk about passive investing all the time, but a true passive investor knows what they're getting into first and understands it. And then when it comes to real estate syndication and going in with a syndicator like myself, I want you to know me. I want you to have access to me. I want you to know that I am going to take care of your investment as far and as much as I possibly can. So those are some of the things that I want you to chew on as I'm going through my story. So throughout my real estate journey, and I'll save you me growing up in Hawaii and all that stuff for later date. Maybe we can have tea one day and we'll talk about that. So my real estate journey has honestly been one of complete growth and change. I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit in the last podcast that I had with you, and I actually might have been pregnant with one of my children. I've been either pregnant with or with a small child for this entire growth period. So Jason and I got together the end of 2012 into 2013, and we decided we wanted a family. We had our first child, 2014. We also got into real estate in 2013, flipping and wholesaling homes. And we started doing small rentals. And we had a construction company. And he still had his brewery. And I was a real estate agent. So wow. There was a lot going on, plus growing our family. So when multifamily syndication hit us, it hit Jason first. I remember him talking to me about it, and I was pregnant with our second child. We still had all these businesses. We were growing. We were prospering, but we had so much to juggle. I actually told him no. So it goes kind of back to what you were saying, right? A lot of your ladies haven't really taken the jump to real estate syndication. I said no, because I was like, we have so much going on. Why would we start another business? Because we were talking about getting into the active side, of course. But it was with.
That's key, right? Is there's the active side, there's the passive side, right? So you were looking at going into the active side.
Because honestly, because again, I wasn't educated enough to even understand that there was a passive side. I didn't even know this at that time. I was just like, absolutely not. I am pregnant. We have all these things happening. But it was what I said before. It was education that got me there. I jumped in with a mentor instead of how we jumped into flipping and wholesaling, which was, let's watch HGTV. And we have a construction company, so obviously we can flip a house. Another story for another day. Back to multifamily. We got a mentor. We educated ourselves. And we ended up taking down our first multifamily in the beginning of 2017, a 94-unit in Kentucky. Let's flash forward a couple of years to 2013. Now we're at 200 million, 2,000 units. And my biggest concern, like I said, is to educate. Ladies, if you don't feel comfortable about putting, because it's not small amounts of money, it's not like $1,000, $5,000. Most minimums start at $50,000, some $25,000, but most are at $50,000. That's not just something most people have in their back pocket. So I want you to be comfortable. I need you to be comfortable. So if you're not comfortable jumping into syndication, then don't jump into one until you feel comfortable enough. So real estate syndication, and we talked a little bit about this, about real estate in general. I believe real estate is the best asset to jump into. Again, though, and I'm going to come back to what I said in the beginning, in so far as much as the person that's running it, do they have a background of success? Do they have other investors that you can talk to? Do you have their cell phone number? Can you get a hold of them if you need to? If you don't understand them or understand something, can you get a hold of them? So it really comes down to being comfortable in what you're investing in, because this is your hard-earned money. We like to talk about passive investing, right? Yes, it's you want to make money on your money, but first, you've worked hard for that money. So let's make sure that the people that you're investing with are also going to work hard to make money on your money. Does that make sense? I tried to answer both questions.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. And I think, so I'll be really honest. I have invested with a few of the different syndicators that I, over time, have gotten to know, whatever, they've been on the show a few times, stuff like that. You've sent me a few things, Peely, right? But I... And this, Peely, because my answer to you was, well, I am finishing up a construction project. I need to stay liquid right now. This has been my story for the last 10 years. It's very frustrating, right? When you're in construction, you do need to have quite a bit of liquidity. This is our first project. So our first project in this company, we started the company together. This is our first project together with my partner. So liquidity was a huge, important deal for me and continues to be. I was just talking to my partner the other day. I probably shouldn't say this on air, but we're all friends here. My partner and I were saying, like, so how much are we in cash? Well, over the 10 years, because it's been a 10-year project from when we bought the property to when we got the permits to when we're finishing the build, we're in but for $1 million. That just personal cash, each of us. So somehow we've had to, and I've sold properties, I've had to make things happen. So liquidity has been, and that's in addition to the loan that we owe. And in the end, I think my ladies actually need to hear this. We are going to do fine, but we're not going to make a killing. It would be like 1 year's income is what we're making on the back end of this, just because we missed the boat as far as when we're selling. Does that make sense? So we didn't get rich on this project, but I learned a lot. One of the things that I learned was liquidity was key, because we could not have finished it. We would have ended up with like a lot of builders, right? Especially during COVID. So for me, there was a liquidity thing, but I will say that it's a bit of a shield, because I don't feel yet that even I'm educated well enough to make those decisions towards what kind of syndications I want to go into. Now, I've gone into a few before I kind of, there were some issue things that came up. And so we did end up putting into three. So I've diversified. I've got one mobile home park, one multifamily, and one storage I've invested in. And that was early on. That was before I met you, by the way. But then I just stopped. So I made really good decisions. The people that I'm invested with are really good. And it is because I know them, right? That I trusted them with my money. But now as I look at, okay, what am I going to do when liquidity isn't this big deal to me? I want to invest. Where am I going to go? How am I going to do this, right? And we've had some people come on the show to educate us, but for some reason, I'm feeling like it's not deep enough. Talk to me a little bit, Peely, about the kind of education that you want, that you share with your people to make them comfortable with taking that leap, right? You're right. $50,000, $100,000 is a lot of money.
So we educate on a couple of different levels. We have our active seven-figure multifamily is our active program. That's if you really want to like dig into, and I actually have some investors that have jumped into that program with the sole purpose of learning how to do it from an asset manager side, from a capital raiser side, to learn how to do it from that side so they understand where they can put their capital and how it's being put to use. Because as an active investor, this is what I do day in and day out. This is my job. Like I've created myself a job. I also passively invest, but this is my work. This is what I love to do. As a passive investor, knowing like going that deep, you could go that deep. And I think as you continue your journey, You can learn over time by talking to the syndicators that you talk with. Really, we should be open books. So there's that level. We also educate on the level of a passive investor. And like you said, people have come on here, other syndicators have come on here to discuss basic syndication techniques. But to really honestly go deeper, it's the phone call. It's finding a syndicator that will talk you through the process, that will understand your needs and talk you through them. Like, for instance, if one of you ladies came to me and you started talking to me about what you needed and I figured out that it wasn't syndication, I'm going to tell you that. If you tell me that you want a quick return on your money, guess what? I am not your lady.
Right.
I don't do quick returns on your money, but I'm not going to force you or to help you to understand that this is the way to go. No, I'll probably introduce you to a house flipper or introduce you to private money lending. That's also really good. Because I think it comes to being comfortable. Like, you want to be comfortable and you don't want to make a mistake. Unfortunately, it's investing. Like you said, you've run through the gamut of your project, this 10-year project. You're not going to make a killing. And it's all based on timing. A lot of it's based on timing. Jason and I got into, like, we could slap ourselves. We wish we got in at 2013. We got in 2017, a few years later. We've still done really well. We've had 10 exits, 10 very successful exits, dozens, hundreds at this point. I'll go with dozens. Let's go with dozens. Could be hundreds. Let's go with dozens of investors who are very happy with how we've performed. Can I promise that into the future? Historically, Jason and I have done very well. And I don't have a crystal ball, but we are very educated and we are very open. And most of my investors, if not all, because I call them with my own cell phone, have my cell phone. They can call me if they need to. They can let me know what troubles they're having, or if they have a question about something that's on their K-1, or if they have a question about what we're doing, or if they want to get in, want to go deeper. They deserve to. Their $50,000 tells me that they deserve to have my cell phone number and to call me if needed. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
I'm not sure how other syndicators run their businesses, but that's how we run ours. We want to make sure, like I said in the beginning, you being comfortable, at least, I'm not going to say you, because I don't want to talk for everyone, but for me, being comfortable and being educated was the key to my growth. It was really funny when we started talking about our old podcast we did together. You mentioned all these books that I had quoted, these things that I was studying. Those are the foundations of the woman that I am today. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the book, The One Thing, The 12-Week Year, and The Miracle Morning. I haven't read those books for a while. I should probably revisit them, but those are my foundation. Like, those are part of why I succeed. So is the reason, like, I'm so good at what I do is because of the foundation, the education I laid down for myself. So investing into any sort of real estate, you should educate yourself. And I think that's what may be holding some people back. True education, that comfortable, I know what I'm getting into education, not I'm pressing a button on my Robinhood app and hoping for the best.
Right. Yeah. Hope is not a good investing strategy. Just saying.
Not at all.
Yeah. There are a couple of things that come up for me as you're asking, as you're talking. And I love this, Peely, that we can just have like a real conversation live. So thank you. You're warming my heart.
Thank you. I just love this.
So there's two things that come up for me. The first one is I'm so afraid of like calling you, Peely, and saying, okay, so give me some information, blah, 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 blah. And then I get that information and then I'm sleeping on it and I've got another question. I'm one of those people, Peely, that will ask you questions until you feel like you've just been buried, right? Like, I will just keep asking questions. But I will also say this, I have never in my entire life lost a dime in real estate. Every single deal has been successful, but I will ask into the ground, right? So yay for me on one level, but people that do business with me, they're like, really? Another question? And so how do you respond to that? These people that are like, because even I'll say it on this show, right? Like, you have to actually take action. And I'm fully aware of that. And I think business people who know me, they know, they've seen my portfolio, they see my life, right? So they know that I'm an action taker, but I will not take action until I feel really safe and comfortable. And so if you got a phone call from me every like day for 10 days, wouldn't that be frustrating for you? And I know my ladies are thinking the same things, right?
So I'm going to give you a quote from Tony Robbins. Uh-huh. Success leaves clues. There's a reason why you're so successful is because you ask the right questions. I think I'm going to say, that's why we have email. You don't have to call me.
Yes.
You can just email me all your questions.
Yes.
And the thing is, I'm going to go back to the price point. $50,000 is the minimum. I have people who invest upwards of $500,000. I have one investor that brought all the capital to one of my deals. That was upwards of $1 million. And they will ask questions. Whether or not I am nose deep in kiddo stuff, or and my kiddos deserve all my time too. If you have a question for me, you are the most important person, because your capital, that's your life. You worked hard for that. Who am I to get irritated because you want to know what a K-1 is, or what this line means on that K-1, or why I am painting the wall gray instead of white? Who knows what your question is going to be? You have the right to answer it, because I am, and this is not said any place in the SEC, but like once upon a time, I was a real estate agent. I am inbred with this idea of fiduciary duty. I have a fiduciary duty towards you, even though it's not set in stone, it's not written anywhere. I can't promise you profit. I can't promise you that I'm going to be there for you every waking hour. And if you have a question, okay, let's answer it. Let's get it answered. And again, I'm going to go back to, there's a reason why you're successful, because you ask the right questions. Instead, and you mentioned taking action. Yes, there is taking action, but we should rephrase that into taking mindful action, yes, taking educated action. It's the uneducated action that gets us into trouble. That split second moment of like putting all your money into one pot, sometimes it works and people make millions of dollars. But then there's those times, and it happens more often than not, that they don't, because they invested in the wrong thing, or with the wrong person, or at the wrong time. It's again, taking mindful action and making sure you're pressing the buttons for investments that make sense for you and the numbers make sense. I believe in investing in people, number one.
You said a couple of things I just want to go back to. I love this idea of mindful action. Action does not necessarily mean jumping in. Doing your education is also action. Listening to this podcast is also action. Like taking action toward your goals does not mean immediately jumping into something without feeling enough confidence around it to experience success, right? When I say, because you know at the end of every show, I say goals without action are just dreams. It's true, but there's lots of different ways that you can take action. So I love the way that you reframe that, because that's exactly what I mean. We do need to take action, but it needs to be mindful action. And that starting action can be education, as long as you don't get into analysis paralysis, which is a fine line, right?
Yes, there is a fine line there. And I think I mentioned that because just for any of your ladies, and you ladies, you should know better by now, that action does not necessarily mean just taking that jump. Although so much of social media and everything that's on there, just go do hustle. Taking that time to analyze, not only the deal, because of course the deal needs to work. The numbers have to be beautiful. And you need to know all the different ways that the deal might not work. Also, and this is more important, analyzing the person that you're investing in and with. That is, I think, of the utmost importance. And you can go analysis paralysis on this as much as you want. Well, maybe not that much, but enough. Like, you should have a good relationship with people that you're investing with. That's why, like, I love working with new investors, because I want to make sure if a new investor is going to invest, that they invest with me, because I know that I can do it. I have that kind of confidence. And I know I'm a good fiduciary, and I will make sure that you know me, that you know my husband, that if you have questions, that you're not going to feel bad. Right. So ladies, if you're listening to this right now and you want to jump into syndication and you want to ask a million questions, I am not going to make you feel bad.
Well,
that is what I'm here for.
Yeah. And you actually said, I want to also highlight a little bit is, Monica, you've had success because you asked the right questions. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask the right questions in the beginning. And so ladies, that's the other piece is, yes, I know a lot now. I've been very blessed with this podcast. This podcast has educated me probably more than it's educated any of you, right? Because I'm having every single conversation. I'm studying every single guest, right? So it's just been phenomenal for me. I've got a lot of education just that way. So over time, there's been an evolution of this matters and this doesn't. This question matters, mm-hmm. this one doesn't. I still ask goofy questions and I understand that it's okay because you don't get to the right questions until you start asking. So don't ever feel like, because I don't know what the right questions are, I'm going to sound stupid or I just don't know. It's okay because you got to start somewhere. If you never start, you're never going to reach success. That's the truth. You have to take the first step. And the first step is to start asking questions. Would you agree with me on that?
I completely agree. And that's why your ladies are with you. Ladies, that's why you trust and you are with Monica. It's because you know that she'll help guide you through some of these questions. This is why you go with syndicators that you trust, because they'll help you guide you through this time and the questions that you have. The mentors that I have, our first multifamily mentor, we still ask him questions because he continues to level himself up to a level that we're reaching for. So we can ask those questions that he's dealing with at that level when we get there. But when we took down our first building, we could not figure out how to do this one thing. We went to him and it was one question to him that would have taken us a week to figure out on our own, asking different types of questions. So this is why you go to those who know those things that you need to know. That's why you listen to podcasts. That's why, I mean, we probably created our podcast for the similar reasons. I've learned so much from having a podcast, just from other people that I've brought on. It's just, it's been phenomenal. Yeah. So listening to podcasts, talking to other women, talking to other people in the industry, talking and actually reaching out to them. So it's one thing to listen to a podcast, but if you resonate with that podcast guest, guess what? The reason why people go on podcasts is to have people reach out to them. So anyone who's listening to this, reach out to me. Let me know if you have any questions. I will answer any of them to the best of my abilities.
And I love that because, and what a great reminder. Ladies, people don't just come on my show because they really like having conversations with me. I mean, I know you do.
That's the only reason why I'm here.
And there are a lot of people that we become friends because of this podcast, right? So, oh my God, that was a great conversation. And we stay in touch just like us, Peely.
Yes.
Yay! Right. And so some people do come back just because they want to talk to me, and I want to talk to them. But the reality is that the reason that people come on these shows is because they want you to reach out to them. You're not imposing by emailing them, calling them, telling them you're interested. Even if you decide in that moment that it's not the right time to invest with them, they are happy for the opportunity to have the conversation. I had a conversation with another friend of mine, Maureen McCann. Do you know Maureen, Peely?
I know of her. Yes.
So she's a turnkey person. She's been on the show about 5 times. We did a whole session because she talks about 52% returns and some really cool stuff. And
that's how we got into multifamily. Was a turnkey.
Got it.
Whole nother story. Keep on going.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many stories. We've got them all, right? But Maureen, at one point I was calling her and I was like, okay, so are you seeing results? Are my ladies calling you? Because I trust her so much. And I was like, I want my ladies to connect with her because she would educate them. She's a lot like you in that way. She's education first. And she said, Monica, don't be so concerned with what I'm getting out of this show. Because the reality is, as I build these relationships, it may be 10 years down the line where someone finally thinks, oh, I'm ready for that. And I loved that Maureen supported me in this way. Maybe I'll connect with her again, right? So you don't have to invest right away. Don't feel any kind of pressure that if you're calling somebody that now it's like, oh my gosh, I feel committed and obligated and all of that stuff, right? They would hope that if you connect with them, that you would consider them when you're investing, but it's definitely not an obligatory thing. You get to ask questions. They're in the business and they're on this show because they want to connect with you. And that means emails, phone calls, all of those things are good. Not just okay, they're good. You're not imposing yourself on them by making those connections. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I don't know that people are listening to this. If this is on video, I'm like bouncing on my seat. I'm so excited because what your friend Maureen said is so absolutely true. I want to have a conversation with you, not just for the now. And if it's for the now, then great. But I'm talking future. I'm talking, my investments are, I mean, the shortest time we've had an investment was 18 months to 7 years. So our investments are long-term investments. So are my relationships. I want them to be long-term. Because our investments are so long-term, I want to have a relationship with you. I need to, because we're going to be in this for the long run. Yes, you are going to be a passive investor, but it doesn't stop there. You don't just get the mailbox money. Well, you kind of do. And I expect you as one of my passive investors to read my emails. I want you to know what's happening. I want you to be educated on what's happening within the market. I want you to know all the things that I know and everything that I'm sharing with you. But back to the phone call. When you have a call with me, okay, I'm going to literally tell you how, if you go onto my website, you're going to get my information on how to invest. We call it Becoming Independently Wealthy with Apartment Buildings. Very long title. I might shorten it. So you're going to go through, that's going to be some emails that you're going to get, some more education coming from myself and my husband. The great thing is you're going to be invited to go into my investor portal. Again, no obligation to do so, but that's more information. You get to see what an investor portal looks like. You'll get to schedule a 15-minute call with me. Again, how I answer the phone call, literally, and this is usually what scares people the most, why they don't call, is because you think when I pick up the phone, I'm going to be like, give me your money. No. If I even talk about money, it's probably going to be because you mentioned it first. I don't want to know about money. I don't even want to know how much money you make. I want to know you, because I don't know what's going to happen for you and with you tomorrow, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But when something good happens or something great financial happened to you, or you get into a new job and you grow, I'm actually working with someone who has $10,000 in savings right now, sitting there. He's growing his wealth. And I'm working with him, helping him to grow that financial stability, create a budget. He's in his 20s. Create a budget, create a system, a foundation. I'm giving him books too to read, to grow from. So that man that he's in his 20s, I still want to know him 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when he's invested in syndications and he's invested in other investments to create legacy wealth. I want to have these legacy relationships. So it's not a one-time phone call. This is me wanting to get to know you. And I will never, ever talk money unless you want to.
Oh, I love that. I have one other question, and I've never asked a syndicator this. So let's talk a little bit about exits. When you're in syndications, ladies, some of the things that happen is they have this plan, right? So they're going to do an value add, or they're going to do a new build or whatever it is. And they give you all the numbers of what this is going to work out. And then what are they going to rent it at? And if they're doing a value add, they're having to cycle people out as leases come up, blah, blah. There's a whole process, right? And then they'll say, when the project is done, we'll refinance it. We'll pay off your thing. You make a certain amount of money. And then when we sell it, if we sell it, so either you'll make income on the rents over the long term. And then if or when we sell it, then you make that capital or whatever. So there's lots of different ways that you earn money, which is how they come up with their final, I think it's an ROR is the number that you say.
IR.
Internal rate. See, look at how much I know, right? IRR. And I've invested in three ladies and I still don't know all the terms.
That's why you have me.
That's right. That's why we've got the pros, right? These are the exit strategies or the possible exit strategies that we hear a lot about. What if things go bad? So let's talk a little bit about how that works. And one of the things that I want to preface this with is one of the things that I know is if you're with a good syndicator, with a good project, in a good location, as long as you can get by the time to be right, the project will recover even through a bad time or a slump, right? So you have to be okay with, yes, the timeline on this project is 2 to 7 years, right? Maybe they said 2 years, maybe they said 3 years, maybe they said 5 years, or whatever. But you got to understand that their biggest obligation to you is to make money for you. And if that means that it's going to take a little bit longer than the 2 years or the 5 years or whatever it is, then sometimes they need to do that in order to hold it long enough so that they don't see a loss. You're still going to make money on the rents. You're still going to make that money, but it may not be the payoff as fast as you had wanted. So that's the one thing that I personally have always had in the back of my mind when I go into a syndication, that this is what we're shooting for. It's not best case. It's also not worst case, right? And to allow for the time to be right. So I'd like you to talk to sort of the way that you look at exits and what happens if things go bad.
It all starts with the underwriting, right? We have to make sure when we underwrite a property, we underwrite it. You already said it too. Best case, worst case, and base case. Normally the numbers, not even normally, the numbers that we put out to our investors are usually very much the base case. We normally don't even put out the best case scenario because we never want to overpromise. There are ways that we can make more money on the property. There are ways that we know how to advance the property further than how we put out there, but we normally don't put it all out there because a lot of the times when we exit a property, we still want to leave meat on the bone for the next owner, right? But we can take it to those places. So what happens when a property goes sour? So this hasn't happened to us yet, knock on wood. Again, it goes back to the underwriting. You have to make sure that the numbers are solid. There are a lot of things that we can't control, but we want to control as much as possible. The number one thing, and you said our number one goal is to make money for our investors. That is true. But there's like number one and a half and number 1.3. So our other goal is to make the best place possible for our tenants to live. I know that has nothing to do with your question, but that we are very much education first, tenant first. If we have happy tenants and a good community, then our investors thrive too. Yes. If our tenants are thriving, our investors are thriving. And then number three is communication. So a syndicator needs to communicate with you when things are going bad and good. So that when things are starting to go south, if they do, it's not a surprise. So this is why multifamily is such a great investment. Because like you said, it's a span of 2, 5, 7, some buildings. And I used to tell people we underwrite into 10 years. We stop at 7, but we do underwrite into 10 years. This is why multifamily is such a great asset, is because it's supposed to stand the test of time. If we have a year, like maybe rents go down, maybe we have a fire. Maybe something happens that is out of our control. And that's key, that term, out of our control. Something like that happens. That's why we're given this time to figure it out and bring it back up, figure out how to rectify the situation and bring it back out. But it's those things that we can't control. It is the things that we can control that you want to make sure that the syndicator has a handle on. That's why we underwrite and keep on underwriting. That's why we do worst case, best case, and base case, because we want to make sure that we are not surprised by the numbers. If a worst case situation should happen, we want to already know ahead of it. If we get the best case, great. We already know ahead of it. So we want to make sure we have a handle on all of these things. Your property management team. So we do not actively property manage the asset. We manage the property managers. We are the asset managers.
We look over everything and we make sure everything works. So you want to make sure that you know who the asset manager is on the syndication. Don't just invest in the syndicator. Don't just talk to the syndicator. The asset manager is your key person on the deal. You want to make sure you have his number if something goes wrong. You want to make sure that you know that he or her are doing the right thing. That is the person that is the puppeteer, basically, for the entire deal. Once you go through acquisitions, you have people that come in, maybe they're part of the asset management team. Maybe they're part of acquisitions. Maybe they helped underwrite. Maybe they did due diligence on the deal. These are various ways you can get into a deal, and they brought capital to a deal. Whoever is the asset manager, once acquisition happens and once the sale happens, that person or that team takes it over. So that is the person or team that is making you money.
So is that you with your projects?
That's myself and my husband. My husband is the key asset manager in our team.
Okay, so you are the asset manager as well as the syndicator. Is that true?
Yes. So the syndicator is basically the person who, so syndication 101, the pooling of investors' funds. So I am a syndicator because that is what I'm doing within the asset. That is how I'm funding the asset. It's with a syndication. The asset manager is part of the syndication. He's not even part, or she isn't even part of the syndication. She's part of the business plan. When you take over a multifamily building, you're creating a business. The business within itself, the main manager is the asset manager. So that is your key person. That is the person you want to talk to. So this is the person that you want to make sure, like, and trust with your $50,000, $500,000, whatever it is, because this is the person that's going to be managing those funds and managing all the other managers. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. So actually, I hadn't heard that distinction before. So thank you.
You're welcome. So there's two ways I could take this conversation. Okay. One of the reasons why you might not hear that term before is that a lot of syndicators are out there don't do the asset management part. Oh. They raise the funds. They're part of the business plan, but they don't have the decision making. You want to make sure that you know the prime decision makers in the deal. Does that make sense? When a deal goes sour, and I've heard of a few, all I can say is the things that go wrong is usually because they didn't have their numbers right in the beginning and they weren't communicating with everyone. There's that saying that you do and ask forgiveness later. It's the opposite with a syndication. You want to make sure that the people that you're working with, because limited partners are still partners.
Yes.
That they know what's happening with their money and that they know what's happening with the asset in good times and in bad. So I haven't heard of anything that's fallen completely apart. But those that I have heard that have gone slightly more towards the sour end, that could be solved with communication. And that could be solved with making sure that you have your numbers right from the beginning. That's why each building that we've gone into has had its own business plan. And we follow that business plan and we pivot when needed. And that's why we've had 10 successful exits, is because we have a foundation of education, of people first, but the numbers have to work. That's always the caveat. We invest in people, but the numbers have to work. So you run, and we run the numbers religiously, and we keep on running the numbers inside of the deal, because as you can see, markets fluctuate.
Pandemics happen.
Pandemics happen. Craziness happens. And the thing is, multifamily has pulled through the entire time. Will it go down? Will it go up? I don't have a crystal ball. That's why education is necessary. So that if you're investing your $50,000 into, let's say, a syndication, you know that money has the possibility of making money, but it also has the possibility of not. Mm-hmm. So one of our biggest concerns is the return of capital. We want to make sure that we make money on your money, but we want to also make sure we return that capital.
So you don't lose money.
Yes. Don't want to lose money.
Right.
Number one rule. That should be number one rule since syndication school. Don't lose money.
Don't lose money. It's interesting to me. One of the things that you said earlier today really also highlights the value that I have when I'm looking at a syndicator is, do they have mentors themselves? So your syndicator has their experience, their work ethic, they've got all their own resources, right? But one of those things that's going to ensure success is that they've got people that they can go to when they have a question, because they're just at their level, right? Maybe they've been in it 5 years, maybe they've been in it 10 years, maybe they've even been in it 20 years, but there are other syndicators that have been in there longer. And there are always new adventures that happen in real estate, right? Hopefully not too many adventures. You don't like adventures in real estate, but they happen, right?
They do happen, even though you don't want them to.
That's right, right? We don't want adventurous investing. If you want that, go to crypto. But but that was not advice, ladies. That was a joke. But I'm just saying that, like,
education.
Yes. Yeah. But it's good to have people that you can go to. The syndicator, you're going to the syndicator. The syndicator should have someone to go to that has been through the cycles that can then mentor them if they hit bumps in the road, right?
Yes. So we have our mentors. We also have a group. So within Seven-Figure Multifamily, this actually came out of a group that I was originally with, Seven-Figure Flipping. So my mentors in the flipping and wholesaling industry, when Jason and I broke off and did multifamily, I kept in contact with those mentors. And every so often, I would let them know about a deal that I had. And I would let them know, hey, we should partner up. Because Jason and I had already created our own mentorship program at that time. But I saw this way to uplift everyone. So the great thing is having this amazing relationship, not only with my mentors in multifamily, but I get to also watch and be a part of this family within Seven Figures. And I get to ask them questions. Other investors that are going through, either have gone through the things that I'm going through, are going through, and I can talk with them. I can learn from them. It's also learning from your peers, not only from those that have come before you, but those who are going through it right now. And they might have answers to the questions that, like we said before, you don't know even to ask. So that's what good mentorship provides for you. It provides someone to go to know that you can ask them any question and they will answer with no ifs, ands, or buts, because they're there for you. They're there to mentor you and help guide you as you step up into your future.
I love that. I feel, Peely, like, as always, we could just talk forever.
Yes.
But I want to be respectful of your time. So before we end this show, could you tell everybody how they can reach you? And ladies, take notes. It's actually in the show notes. But I'm just saying, go do that. Have a conversation.
So the best place to go to is my website, www.yarusi, my last name, Y-A-R-U-S-I, holdings, with an H, ends with an S, .com. Really easy. When you open up the email, there's going to be a button you can click to get more educated. You can click on the button and learn more about me and my team.
Perfect. And she's also got that free report there for you. So you can download that to get a little bit more education. This conversation has, as always, with you, Peely, it's been so yummy. Thank you.
This has been amazing. It was great to catch up.
Yes.
I cannot wait to have you on my own podcast.
Too.
We will extend this conversation into more of what you're doing.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much. And ladies, thank you so much for joining Peely and I for this show. Isn't it awesome? I love it when you guys get to kind of just overhear a couple of girls chatting. It's so important to me that you feel comfortable and blissful in making your choices. And that's what this show is all about. And I feel like Peely really, really modeled that today in so many ways. So thank you for joining the two of us today. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, Goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, mindful action, and create the life of your heart most deeply desires. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.